Now, I want you to take a minute and think about your mobile phone or your tablet for a second. What apps are on there? What apps can't you live without? You know, the ones that you use every day, from banking to counting your steps to shopping. I mentioned earlier, mine would definitely be Maps, because I can't find anywhere without a map. Banking, BBC News app, my music streaming app, absolutely couldn't live without that. This is because this week we've been looking at AI and the impact it has on our everyday life. So this morning, I wanted to find out how much AI is in our pockets and what difference it makes to the apps that we use. Now, I'd love to hear from you this morning about what you use and why you can't live without it. So get in touch on that, 81333, start with Oxford. We've already had a few in, actually. This just in, Captain Jack. Oh, I missed that one out. Weather app. He says, can't live without it. In fact, I use two for cross-reference. Very sensible, Captain Jack. Gary says, hi, Adam and the team. Maps and radio apps. I use them every single day. There you go. They're more common than you probably think. Now, let's chat to Fevzi Turkalp, who is the gadget detective. He joins me now to just talk more about AI and apps. Good morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
So, of course, apps, they're not anything new, but are apps using AI, I guess? It's quite a recent development, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Because when we think about AI, we think about things like ChatGPT, you know, chatbots, what they call large language models, or autonomous robots. But really, AI has become like the silent engine running all the apps that we use in our pockets. So even our existing apps got better. So, you know, our voice assistants got less dumb and more smart. And it's the engine. So you've got things like Shazam, where it isn't just doing what it used to do, which was like every song would have a digital fingerprint that it could just recognize. Now it actually listens carefully to the music so it can spot things like remixes. It can filter out the noise in the pub when you're listening. And then predict what you like. So that's a use of AI. Grammar checkers never used to work, right? Spell checkers work, but a grammar checker could never tell the difference between time flies and fruit flies because it didn't understand what you were actually saying. Now it not only understands, but it can rewrite it for you to make you sound more confident, more educated, more empathetic, more professional, whatever it is you want. It can do that. That's AI. Those apps that you get where you point them at your plants, they can now identify more than 10,000 plants with 98% accuracy. That's better than most human botanists can do. That's AI. But it does more than just identify. It spots if the plant is ill. It spots if we are ill. And that's one of the other things that, all right, we've had, you know, smartwatches for a while and the ability to measure our, you know, blood pressure and all of this sort of thing. But now it not only makes those measurements, these health apps, but they look for patterns. They look for early stages of problems and flag them up. So, for example, in the future, in the near future, a phone will detect microtremors in a person's voice, maybe microtremors in their hand, a subtle change in the way that they walk or their speech patterns, maybe early signs of dementia or some sort of neurological disease, something that maybe is years before we would notice it and seek help. It can do those things. So it's this amazing engine that just makes everything that we already do smarter.
Do you think in the future, most apps, if not all apps, will harness some form of AI then?
Yes, and I think the idea of apps will, I mean, those functions will still exist. But at the moment, your phone is a bit like a toolkit, yeah? So you've got all these different tools. So you can check the weather, you can check your banking, you can sort out, you know, your travel arrangements, all of these things. But you are the user of those tools. Imagine in the future, and not in the distant future, that you have a digital concierge. You're in a very high-class hotel, and figuratively speaking, and you say, I want to go on holiday. And it solves all the other problems. Okay, so how much money have I got in the bank? How much leave do I have? What's the weather there going to be like? What sort of holidays have I had before? So the digital concierge, the AI assistant, becomes the user of those app functions. So yeah. You don't have to, you go up a conceptual level. You highlight problems, or even it highlights the problems for you, but then it goes ahead and solves them. So that's all the good side of it, and that's I think the change that we'll see.
You won't find me in a high class hotel. I'll just put that straight out there, Fevzi, just so you know. Now I've been hearing a lot about agentic AI in the news. Now I have absolutely no idea what that means.
Right. So agentic AI comes from agency, the ability to act in the world. If a person is said to have agency, it means that they're not just someone that things happen to, but someone that can shape the world around them. So at the moment, we think of AI as being, most of us interact with it as a chatbot. We speak to ChatGPT or similar things, and we give it a problem and it gives it the opinion, and we may follow its advice or we may not. Agentic AI is different. It doesn't just advise you or discuss with you, it does things for you. So it's like having a digital employee, a bit like the digital concierge we mentioned before. So it can go online, it can operate your browser, it can go and search for things for you in a way that's it's as if it was a digital friend or employee working for you very quickly, very persistently, 24 hours a day in the background doing these tasks for you. So my people will no longer speak to your people. My AI will be speaking with your AI.
I mean, that's scary to think. I mean, finally, is there anything we should be cautious about with this? Because, I mean, that does feel like it's going to slowly take over our lives.
Yeah, I mean, yes, we very much need to be cautious because it's a very powerful technology. So it has the opportunity to transform our lives. It has the ability to solve medicine. Yeah, illness becomes the thing of the past. Solve climate change, free us from having to be wage slaves. However, the danger is, and the direction of travel currently is, that these benefits are being accrued into the hands of a relatively small number of tech bros, tech billionaires. And the challenge now is for us to be aware and engage with our governments so that we make sure, if we can, that we all benefit from this technology, that we're not just in a position where our jobs are displaced and companies benefit by not having to pay wages, to a situation where we can all benefit from this. And that's a big challenge.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that massive insight there. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective. Really appreciate you coming on.